And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
On today's Fantasy Baseball in 15, we'll review another disappointing debut from a top pitching prospect.
Like death and taxes, Dodgers get a Dodger.
I have not had three cold brews yet.
It works great in a fantasy league.
I'm just glad I am not at the dentist.
Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic.
Welcome to Fantasy Baseball in 15 for Tuesday, June 8th, presented by Topps. Check out Topps Project 70, celebrating 70 years of Topps baseball cards. I'm Al Melchior. I'm here with Michael Beller. And the big news today, Michael, is really the flip side of the big news over the weekend with Jackson Coart getting called up. We will talk about him later on, but a couple of demotions, high-profile demotions. Jared Kelnick going down for the Mariners. Keston Hira, again, for a second time this season, getting optioned by the Brewers. So Kelnick leaving the majors on a 44 straight plate appearance hitless streak. And a corresponding move, Mariners activating Shed Long, who has completed his recovery from shin surgery. So first, let's talk about Kelnick. What should we do if we've got him rostered? I would think that given his ceiling, that he should be stashed. But did we maybe learn something from this first call up?
It's a tough spot to be in, honestly. If you have Kelenic on your roster and we're just talking like a straight redraft league, it's hard. It's hard to just bury a guy on your roster and, you know, you're not really sure when he's going to come back. And frankly, he earned this demotion, Al. He was bad. He was bad in the time that he was in the majors. It's not like there's service time shenanigans at play here, nothing like that. He was just straight up bad. And so it's hard to know when he's going to be back. We know he's going to be back this season. He's not just going to be a AAA guy for the rest of the year, but it's a tough spot to be in. I wouldn't fault someone who did drop him and move on. I would say I probably would try to avoid that at every possible cost. But if you really don't have the space to just have someone sitting there on your roster taking up a spot for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month before he's back, I don't think this is someone who you absolutely have to hold on, no questions asked.
All right. And Shed Long coming up, where should we be adding him at this point?
AL only, I suppose. That's probably the only place where I'm going to be interested in him right off the bat. We do know that he's got some speed that he brings to the table, but beyond that, with this lineup playing the way it is, you're not going to get a ton of run scoring or RBI upside. I just want to say AL only, and if he can prove his way into a 15-team league, then I can talk about him then. But until then, just AL leagues.
All right, and Keston Hira gets another shot, but still strikes out a lot, doesn't really produce much, goes back down to AAA. So I'm going to frame this question. It's basically the same question as with Kelnick, but I'm going to frame it slightly differently. I have Keston Hira in a 12-team mixed league, in my Tout Wars league, and I have been stashing him all season long, I'm going to continue to, at least for the short term. Do you view that as a mistake? And just to offer my explanation for it is that this is somebody who has produced at the major league level. I do have six bench spots. I haven't yet had a big dilemma in terms of, having to give up on adding somebody I really wanted. But do you think it is time to part ways?
I mean, that sounds like a fine justification, but with what we've seen from Keston Hira going back to the start of the 2020 season, I don't see why any of us should believe that he's suddenly going to figure it out at the major league level. So I wouldn't be holding on to him if I were in your shoes.
All right. I am in my shoes, and I'll have something to think about next weekend when I've got to make some roster decisions. Let's get to some other news items from Monday. Adbert Alzolay left his start at San Diego with a blister, so that's one that we'll have to track as the weekend approaches, see if he can make his next start. J.D. Martinez did not start on Monday against the Marlins, still dealing with that sore wrist. Javier Baez and Jock Peterson, both out of the Cubs lineup for that game against the Padres. Baez dealing with a hand injury, Jock Peterson dealing with a back issue. Byron Buxton, as was anticipated, but now we know that we can confirm this, that Byron Buxton's going to start a rehab assignment on Tuesday with AAA St. Paul. And Kenta Maeda, he is also going to make a rehab start with that very same club this Wednesday. So no timetable yet for Maeda, but Buxton, we'll have to keep track of that one too, because maybe we see him back with the Twins very, very soon. And, you know, safe to say that you should have been hanging on to Buxton all this time. I'm sure you did. And maybe just wait a little bit longer.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
So let's take a look back at a very, very skimpy Monday slate, just three games. But the thing that we were all anticipating, Michael, was the major league debut of Jackson Coar. And we still have to wait for him to complete an entire inning at the major league level. Only got two outs against the Angels, gave up four runs on three hits and two walks, didn't strike anybody out. We've kind of seen this movie before. This season, Logan Gilbert getting off to a rough start seems to have recovered from that. Daniel Lynch, he's back in the minors now after a difficult debut. So what's the blueprint for dealing with a prospect who starts off this way?
And Major League Baseball's heart. Who would have thunk it, right? look, hopefully he gets another bite at the apple over the weekend. I'm certainly not dropping him if I just grabbed him, and I'm not dropping him even with a bad start against Oakland if that ends up happening over the weekend. But yeah, just another reminder that just because a guy is dominating AAA, just because a guy has a high ceiling, just because we feel really good about what his future looks like 3, 4, 5 years down the road, doesn't mean we necessarily need to love what his future looks like 3, 4, 5 starts down the road. Coar, the last guy to use it. And I will say that I like seeing that from Mike Matheny. I don't necessarily always agree with his managerial strategies, but no reason to let the rookie get beat up. You know, three hits, two walks. I know it's not like maybe you let, you know, John Lester continue in a situation like that, but no reason to let Coar get beat up in that situation. I like seeing that quick hook, actually.
Yeah, could just have been jitters. I agree with you on that. And this is somebody that just was absolutely dominating in the minors this year. So, yeah. Far, far too early to be making any sort of drops or anything after you just picked him up, most likely. In that same game, Hunter Dozier with a nice game at the plate, 3 for 4, couple of doubles. He's now up to 7 doubles on the season. And a little bit of a hot streak lately. His last 7 games, he's 7 for 26 with a couple of homers in addition to those doubles. 9 strikeouts, though. So a little bit of good, a little bit of bad. The power is there for Dozier. You figure, if nothing else, he's going to hit for power, but still striking out a lot. At this point, is it worth maybe picking him up, waiting for him to start making more contact, or ignore him in most formats at this point?
Yeah, you absolutely hate the strikeouts that he is bringing to the table here. But I don't know, with all the injuries that we have, and we know what Hunter Dozier can do when he does get right, as you said, he is still hitting for a decent amount of power when he does make contact. I could definitely see kicking the tires on him for this next week or so and seeing where it goes because of all the injuries. Like, there's plenty of people, myself included, who are considering Hunter Dozier right now because of the injuries that they have on their team. And I think it makes sense. With a guy hitting like this, you know the power is going to be there. Why not give it a shot? If he doesn't come through, you didn't really miss out on a whole lot elsewhere.
All right. And in that same game, Max Stacy, also with a three-hit game for the Angels, hit his third home run of the season, his second double, hitting for average above 300. And, you know, we complain, I don't want to say constantly, but maybe consistently about the catcher pool, especially this season. I think Stacy maybe is somebody, granted, he was on the IL for a while, but he's back. And I think somebody that could help not only with batting average, but eventually with power. I think maybe he's going a little bit under the radar.
Hey, man, a catcher with a pulse is a very good thing in the fantasy baseball world, and you like seeing what he's done. Three homers and two doubles, I mean, on the season. Like, it's better than it sounds, right? So, yeah, sure, I could definitely see another guy who I'm not going crazy for, but if you need help at catcher, this is someone worth taking a look at.
All right, and let's stick with this Royals-Angels game. Anthony Rendon, a standout, not in a great way here. He did get a hit, 1-for-4, that actually slightly bumped up his batting average on the season to .236. Only three home runs, and I feel like this is a story that I've, frankly, we haven't discussed. I've not seen it discussed elsewhere very much. But very disappointing production from Anthony Rendon so far. And yet, it's kind of a head-scratcher as to why. He's actually hitting for a little greater exit velocity on flies and liners than he did a year ago, 93.2 miles an hour, which is really pretty much in line with what he's done in recent seasons. Do you see something here that I'm missing? Any cause for concern?
I mean, the StatCast numbers certainly don't match up with where he was in 2019 and 2020 and 2018, really over his entire career. You know, if you go look at those from previous years, you're only going to see red and maybe shades of pink. This year, you're going to see a whole lot of blue, and that's just not what we're used to seeing from Anthony Rendon. So I feel comfortable saying that something's not right. And a guy with his track record, I usually trust to bounce back. I still lean in that direction with him this season, but with just all these peripherals lining up in a way that suggests he's earned his poor performance, it does feel like something's not quite clicking with him this year. So I wouldn't say that this is a slam dunk bounce back case for the second half.
All right. Now, Manny Machado with a productive night at the plate on Monday, 2-for-3 with his eighth home run of the season against the Cubs. But kind of a similar story there, batting just .239, more power than Rendon has shown so far, but definitely less power than we've seen from Machado in past seasons. He is getting the stolen bases, six of them so far. So again, a little bit of a mixed bag with Manny Machado. But for me, kind of the same story. I didn't see the flaws in the peripherals for him. So I'll go back to you and see what you are finding there with Manny Machado so far this year.
Yeah, there really aren't any. I mean, the one thing that he's doing is he's hitting the ball on the ground way more than he has in seasons past. But everything else lines up with where he has been in seasons past. And another thing that you love is go take a look at his spray chart. I mean, he's hitting the ball all over the field. This has the feeling of something that is going to get right, and it's going to get right sooner rather than later. I don't know if people are really going to try to sell out on Manny Machado. I don't know if he's a realistic buy-low candidate, because I would think that whoever has invested in him would be the first person at the front of the line ready to buy low on him. So I don't know if that's a realistic piece of advice you can act on. If it is, I would take it. And if you are a jittery Manny Machado manager, I would say, hold on. Things really feel like they're about to start clicking for him.
All right, well, let's take a look at the Tuesday streamers. Much bigger slate this time. A couple of pitchers that we talked about over the weekend and before the weekend, Martin Perez and JT Brubaker, both with difficult matchups. So maybe the most attractive pitchers just in a vacuum on the slate that you could stream, but very, very tough matchups. Perez versus the Astros, Brubaker versus the Dodgers. I'm going to assume this is a hard no for you, Michael.
I could maybe get on board with Brubaker, but there's so many circumstances that would have to get me to that point that I would say 99 cases out of 100, it's going to be a no for both of these guys. Just don't want to chance those sort of matchups that they've got tonight.
All right, so let's take a look at some pitchers, maybe who you would want to stream. We've got Mets Orioles, so teams you would want to stream against, David Peterson and Bruce Zimmerman going there, and Chris Bubich and Andrew Heaney going in the next installment of Royals Angels. So we got Peterson, Zimmerman, Bubich, Haney. We got Marco Gonzalez at Detroit, Seattle, and the Tigers, so good streamers there, but Matthew Boyd, he probably won't be able to get to stream, but Marco Gonzalez, a possibility. And I'll throw one more name out there, Zach Davies at the Padres' former team. They'll be going with Denelson Lamet. And maybe Davies is the new John Gant, because his last six starts, he's got a 2.56 ERA, but a very poor strikeout-to-walk ratio, but just not giving up hard contact. So, Peterson, Zimmerman, Bubich, Haney, Marco Gonzalez, Zach Davies, anybody streamable there?
Yes, Marco Gonzalez is very streamable. I think Marco Gonzalez is keepable beyond this start. He is easily at the top of my list, whether we are talking short or long term. Really, really like him here, and I do think he's someone. He was getting right before he went on the IL. A nice return from the IL. I like Marco Gonzalez a lot, not just tonight, but going forward.
All right, looks good. So let's wrap it up here with a look at our weekly gambling spotlight.
All right, Al, let's take a look at this here. Give me the Astros to score more than 5.5 runs. That is +110 on BetMGM. Martin Perez stifled them last time these two teams met. I do not think that happens again, and I like them getting him so soon after they were stifled by Martin Perez. I think that offense gets right. Michael Brantley also back for the Astros tonight. Again, +110 on BetMGM. And let me throw a little favorites parlay at you. The two teams in Florida, the Rays and the Marlins, both have big-time pitching advantages in their games tonight. Tyler Glasnow versus John Lester for the Rays, Pablo Lopez versus Antonio Senzatella for the Marlins. You take those two, you put them together, you get +135 on your money from BetMGM. I will be looking at those two Florida teams to both take victories tonight. Give me a little +135 on my money if I parlay them.
All right. Well, good stuff there, Michael. So that's going to be it for this episode of Fantasy Baseball in 15. And just the usual reminder to subscribe, rate, and review. If you do any or all those things, we thank you in advance. So for Michael Beller, I'm Al Melchior, and we'll be right back here on Wednesday.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.